Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen. Tom, how's it going?
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start with tax reform. U.S. House passing that bill earlier today, and it moves on to the Senate, where they're already considering a completely different tax reform bill that's going to have a tough road. So a lot to say and do and hear before anything ultimately gets passed, if in fact anything will. But one thing that we have been talking about over the course of the last few months is the extent to which, first of all, sort of Republican base voters are upset with Congress for not being able to pass any of those big pieces of legislation, be it tax reform or health care repeal or anything like that. On the other side, those bills that have been proposed, Obamacare repeal and now tax reform, have been extremely unpopular with voters in general, especially Democrats and independents, but even Republicans kind of on the fence about it, to say the least. So what is the situation here, sort of looking ahead to 2018? Is it that Republicans need to pass this unpopular thing in order to satisfy their base, or by passing this unpopular thing, are they going to make the situation worse for them than it already is heading into next year?
I think passing tax reform is just going to make things even worse for Republicans than they already are. I think it's sort of a misnomer that the base is actually dying that much for this tax reform. I think that's something that you like hear pundits in Washington say and that sort of thing. But the last time that we polled on this nationally, only 53% of Republicans said that they supported the congressional Republican tax proposal. And then we found that independents were opposed to it by 22 points. Democrats were opposed to it at that stage by 58 points. So really a sort of more energy against the bill from non-Republicans than energy for it from Republicans. So I think that this is another political loser, much like health care was.
And speaking of health care, we've got a provision in one of the bills that's being talked about right now in the Senate that would repeal the Obamacare individual mandate, which is a huge, huge portion of the sort of overall Obamacare package. So they're trying to package essentially an unpopular tax reform bill together with an unpopular Obamacare repeal. I assume that would make things even worse, right?
Absolutely. And we just did a big set of polling about the tax reform plan in 15 Republican-held swing congressional districts across the country in the last week. And the results were pretty amazing. In all of those districts, we found, just as we did in the national polling, that voters opposed it by 20 or 25 points. But we also asked, if your member of Congress voted for this plan, would that make you more or less likely to vote for them next year? Would it not make a difference? And we consistently found in these districts by 20 or 25 points that it would make voters less likely to vote for the Republican members of Congress. And despite that, some of those folks who we polled on in the set of polls still voted for the tax reform bill today. And I saw some people on the internet speculating that these folks just kind of already know that they're goners and they're just going to vote however they feel like for the next year because they don't even think they really have a chance at reelection. I obviously can't personally read into the minds of those folks about whether that's their thinking, but certainly with this set of Republican congressional members that we polled on across the country, all of them were already in pretty bad shape and then voted for this bill that clearly, if they voted for, they were going to end up being in even worse shape.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website if you want more information about recent polls. I know this one's not on the website, but you just conducted a poll for an organization called Patriot Majority, sort of focusing on swing districts. Is that the one that you were referring to just a second ago?
Yeah.
So how did that shape up? I know we're talking about the tax reform bill, but how did that shape up in terms of just sort of looking ahead to this new election cycle that starts now for the 2018 midterms, focusing on swing districts? Where do things stand?
Well, we found that out of these 15 Republican-held congressional districts, either a generic Democrat or a specific Democratic candidate who's already in the race were leading 13 out of 15 of these Republican incumbents. And in some cases, it was just by very emphatic margins. In Florida's 26th district in Miami-Dade County, the Republican incumbent Carlos Curbelo is down by 14 points. Dana Rohrabacher out in Orange County, California, has been one of the Republicans most closely tied to the Russia issue. He's down by 10 points. I thought one thing that was pretty remarkable in this set of polling is that even in somewhere like Texas, you had a couple districts that the Republican incumbents were trailing a generic Democrat by 5 to 10 points. And what we are seeing in most of these districts is that they voted for Hillary Clinton last year, but also voted for a Republican member of Congress. And now they're sort of saying, well, we voted for a Republican member of Congress to have a check because we assumed that Hillary Clinton was going to be president. Now Hillary Clinton's not president. We still want the check. So what getting the check means now is having a Democratic member of Congress instead. And we really saw this dynamic sort of play itself out in the Virginia election last week, as we talked about a lot on election night. There were a whole lot of Republican-held House of Delegates seats in Virginia that Hillary Clinton had won the district, and Democrats ended up picking up, it's still not totally clear, but 15 or 16 of those Republican-held seats that were in Clinton districts. And what we saw in this set of congressional polling that we did across the country is that that's a nationwide phenomenon, just like voters in these Virginia districts put Democrats into their legislature. Voters in these congressional districts nationally are ready to put Democrats to go represent them in Washington.
So what about districts? And I know that wasn't, these weren't the districts that you polled recently, but just in terms of numbers that you're seeing, what about districts that go the other way, that maybe voted for Trump in 2016, but also a Democrat for Congress?
We haven't done any in those really sets of polling, but what you have happen in what's setting up as sort of a wave election next year is that you may have no Democratic incumbents lose in the House, or maybe at maximum have like one lose or something like that. I think we're really headed into a situation where it's sort of going to be all defense for Republicans, all offense for Democrats in terms of how they're playing. And that, again, is something we saw in Virginia last week. Like, while Democrats were picking up all those seats in the Virginia legislature, they didn't lose any of the ones that they already held. I don't think they even really came close to losing any of the ones that they already held. And in some ways, it's a similar dynamic to what we saw in 2010 nationally, where Democrats had to defend everything that they had while Republicans had to defend barely anything. We've been talking all year about what a strong Democratic political climate it is based on polling numbers. And then what I think we've seen in the elections over the last few weeks is that that's really sort of being confirmed on the ground as well. I've talked about Virginia a decent amount, but even just this week, Tuesday night in Oklahoma, a Democrat who's a lesbian, who's married to an African-American, so an interracially married lesbian Democrat, got elected to the state Senate in a district that Donald Trump won by 30 points.
Wow.
So that's pretty indicative of sort of the amazing shift we're seeing. And then in Albuquerque, New Mexico, they've had a Republican mayor for the last 8 years. Not only did Democrats get back control of the mayor's office on Tuesday night, but they won it by 24 points. So we're really seeing lots of real world on the ground evidence of a big Democratic wave coming next year beyond just what we're seeing in all this polling data.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, and I had a question for you, and then I started sort of mulling it over in my mind about wave elections and the prospect of 2018 being another one compared to what we might have seen at this time in previous election cycles. And as I was thinking about it, it occurred to me that literally the last three midterm elections have been elections that you would describe as wave elections. 2006 was a huge year for Democrats. 2010 and 2014 were both really, really good years for Republicans. 2010, obviously, especially, but 2014 as well. And all three of those were whichever party did not occupy the White House ends up having this incredible year in the midterms. And you know, there's examples of that sort of going back further in history, and usually the opposition party picks up some seats in Congress during the midterms, but it's not like a wave election every single time. And I'm wondering if this is now the new normal in terms of a trend, at least until either the Democratic or the Republican Party can come up with a platform or a round of candidates on the national level that voters actually can get behind and approve of and like, because this is also also happening at the same time that, and we've talked about this before too, approval ratings for individual politicians are in the tank as well in ways that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I think as long as we keep having presidents who are extremely divisive, where one side just really loves them and the other side really hates them, you're going to continue to have this kind of dynamic in midterm elections, because what you see happen is that the party who hates the president just gets super fired up to go out and vote in these elections, where turnout is so much more differential than you necessarily see in a presidential election. And then I think, by sort of a similar corollary, the party that's in power gets a little complacent. They're happy with how things are going, so they don't feel that sort of sense of urgency to vote. And then you end up seeing these big shifts happen, partially because you have a few people who voted one way in the presidential election and decide to vote the other way in the midterm, but even more so just because it's much easier to get out the side of the people who are mad about what's going on than the side who are happy about what's going on. It's I guess it's just sociology. We're more motivated by what makes us angry than what makes us happy.
We got to wrap up here in a second, Tom, but before we do, what else are you seeing out there that people ought to know?
Very interesting polling on tax reform, particularly in New York and California this week. It's sort of unusual for us to get hired to focus on stuff in New York and California because they're such blue states, but a lot of Republican-held congressional districts in those states that are going to be particularly affected by this tax reform plan, and we definitely saw that it was very unpopular there. And the Republicans who did switch sides, vote against their own party's tax reform plan this today, disproportionately came from those states. And that just speaks again to the sort of growing suburban problem for Republicans that's giving Democrats a lot of opportunities. And I think that may give Democrats opportunities for some key legislative pickups next year in North Carolina.
And for the Republicans in New York who flipped and voted against the tax reform plan today, will that make a difference for them, the fact that they voted no, or will it just be sort of Democratic voter anger against the party coming back to haunt them no matter what?
Well, that's a great question. Somebody pointed out today that you could go ask all the Democrats who voted against Obamacare and still got swept out in 2010 what that did for them. And I think you pretty much pointed to the nail on the head, which is that if people are mad at the Republicans, it doesn't matter how you voted specifically. You're probably still going to get swept out if there's a wave next year.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Go there and find out more. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.